That's a little Tina Arena for you, and you're tuned to Travel Writers Radio. Well, Sue Gough Henley is an award-winning Australian travel writer who decided a few years ago that she'd explore life in the Northern Hemisphere with her children, all grown up, and the chance for she and her husband to work from anywhere. Sue writes on travel for Australian, British and American publications, and her husband consults globally. They looked around Bordeaux, where Sue had connection, and things fell, you know, quickly into place. She explains to Graham Kemelow that despite a few setbacks, they are enjoying the French life and the French paradox.
Sue has uprooted herself from Melbourne, where she was a prolific writer, and has gone to live in France. We thought we'd just find out why she did it and how it's going and when the book's coming out. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Sue.
Thanks a lot, Graham.
Now, how long ago did you leave?
Well, I'm not completely gone. I'm actually spending a little less than 6 months of the year in France and about 4 months in Sydney and a couple of months in the States.
Now, I know you've got family in various parts of the world.
Yeah.
Is that why you've based yourself sort of in the Northern Hemisphere?
Partly, but I've always had a love affair with France. And years ago, I worked in Bordeaux. And so still have friends and colleagues there. So when we decided we were going to try this adventure, we picked the Bordeaux area to look for a farmhouse.
Okay, so you actually have sold your house in Melbourne though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a fairly big move, I guess, in any language.
Yeah.
How was the process of selling and buying? Obviously two quite different markets, I imagine two different styles of housing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we sold our big family house in Melbourne because the kids were all grown up. And because I, still have friends in the Bordeaux area, I asked them for some real estate agents over there that they recommended. And we actually bought the house in France before we sold the house in Melbourne. But so we bought the house 4 years ago now. And so we thought it was going to take a couple of years to find something that we wanted. But actually, after only 3 weeks of looking, we found the ideal spot. And so it all happened a bit faster than we expected it would. So, I mean, it's a little bit complicated. Obviously, it helps if you speak French, which I do, but you don't have to. There are plenty of people who've bought houses in France who don't speak French. Mm. It's helpful to have an English-speaking real estate agent. But, once you find something, it was actually, we found a broker, a mortgage broker, who had the unusual, he was English, he lived in Paris, he'd worked in Melbourne, and his wife was American and my husband's American. So he had experience from the four different, areas that we wanted. But he knew how to navigate, getting a mortgage in French, which was probably the most difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah, I imagine. So it obviously went relatively smoothly for you.
It did. Yeah. I mean, you do have to, there's a lot of hoops you've got to go through to get a mortgage. You even have to get, a full physical as well.
Oh.
So that was pretty interesting.
Okay.
And, obviously prove financial ability to pay the mortgage and so on.
Right.
But it all went pretty smoothly. I mean, when we bought the house, you first of all signed a compromis de vente, which is an intent to buy and sell. And then the process took a lot longer than it does in Australia. So it was about 3 months before we signed the final papers. And it was done in French and English. So that helped.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess if you didn't like it in English, you weren't going to like it in French.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. And your husband, obviously, he worked in Melbourne too, didn't he?
He retired from his full-time job and now consults.
Okay.
And he works all over the world. So it sometimes means you get up at weird hours of the night to have a phone call, but it's possible. It's definitely feasible. And being a travel writer, it's good to be, anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this, with bucket list is the right term. It sounds like it's just been a passion of yours for some time.
Yeah, as I said, I've always loved France and had worked there in a former life, and this was definitely a dream come true. It's funny, there's a lot of things, all the ins and outs of dealing with a house, the systems are done differently, how they do property taxes and how to learn about plumbing French, the fuse box. I mean, I've definitely had to beef up my technical French in terms of house stuff, but we found, that tradespeople are in Bordeaux incredibly professional and turn up on time and do what they say they're going to do. So it's in that regard, it's been great.
It sounds like a fabulous situation. What about your family, your children? Do they?
Well, they love France. Well, two of my three daughters did a French immersion program at MLC in Melbourne. So right. They've been traveled all around France all growing up. So they love the fact that we have a place in France. In fact, my middle daughter is about to take her partner and six friends to go and stay at our house next month. Wow. So they think it's fabulous that we've got a place there.
Mm. Now, in terms of your writing, have you obviously still write, because I saw your International Media Marketplace last week in Sydney.
Yes.
You're obviously still writing in the Australian market. Has
yes.
being in France opened up other markets for your writing?
Well, I write about France a lot, and I write about France for US and English publications as well as Australian. Mm. And I also do some writing for the French Tourism Board. I don't write well enough in French to write for the French press, but I'm looking at expanding more outlets in the UK because that's just across the La Manche or the Channel.
Mm.
I've got to be a little bit more diligent about that.
So would you recommend, obviously you had a bit of, you're lucked in the sense of the combination of expertise that you found, but would you
yes.
recommend the idea to others?
Absolutely. I think that it's really, traveling is stimulating. It opens your eyes. You live in the moment when you're on the road just for, a week or a month or 2 months. But moving to another country, it's sort of like it's a new home, but it's a new home that you're looking at with fresh eyes. Everything is fresh, from the hours that the butcher is open to how you deal with buying plants for your garden and the seasons and the different, the different plants that work in a different climate and regional area. So it's sort of like everyday life takes on this exciting new dimension because it's all so new, and you don't have the ground rules because it's a different language, it's a different culture, it's a different continent, it's a different hemisphere. So you're sort of like you're on alert doing everything fresh for the first time, and I think that's one of the most appealing things.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
About it.
It does sound like a book, but
working on that.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder, definitely. Is it hard to find a unique sort of proposition for your book given the
well,
the
that's
that
what I'm playing
published.
Around with right now, because obviously, A Year in Provence was written and Under the Tuscan Sun. So it's not like the book hasn't already been done before. So I'm playing around with a different take on it, because who needs another story about, yes, I moved to another country and isn't life wonderful? I mean, things go wrong too.
Yeah, look, I'm sure they do. What's the funniest thing that's happened to you? Maybe it wasn't funny at the time, but you look back at it.
Oh, you should have prepared me for this. One time we had an electrician come, and I couldn't remember the name for fuse box, and I didn't have my phone with me, and just trying to figure out how to say the most obvious thing, and it's just eluded you. That's happened on several occasions. Another time we actually, they didn't measure the border of our property, and it borders two of the sides of the property border agricultural fields, and unfortunately it had not been surveyed properly when we bought it, and then the farmer came in and said that we'd encroached on his land by a couple of meters. So it was just sort of excruciating having to go through this process to buy this sliver of land that was really not worth very much, but he had us over a barrel because it was already our land. It was being used with our septic system on it. So it was,
you think he knew, was
things do, but things go wrong, but in the grand scheme of things, when you sit out on the deck and you overlook a field of sunflowers stretching to the horizon, and we see nothing from the 20th century, much less the 21st century, it's a pretty special experience.
It sounds like a fabulous experience that you're enjoying.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we bought a converted barn that has a wall that's 3 meters thick, and it's in a hamlet, and the hamlet, which is a very, very small village, there's three houses in our hamlet, and it's called Le Portail, which means the gateway, and the wall in our barn was the gateway to the chateau up the road, and it's from the 13th century. So, I mean, it's It's pretty, and we have an enormous oven that was used to bake bread for the pilgrims because we're right on the path of the Saint-Jacques de Compostela. So there's some pretty amazing experiences. Although I do have to say one funny thing we did. My husband likes to play around with jokes. So we live in a barn, which is La Grange in French. And when it was first renovated, before that, it was a ruin that was full of sheep, which is Mouton in French. Mm. And so my husband has created this wine label, Chateau Mouton Grange, which is a play on both the Australian Grange and the Mouton Rothschild of Bordeaux. And this label, we don't make any wine at our chateau, and it says on the label in French, old winemakers instead of old vines, and absolutely nothing is made at the chateau. So there's a lot of fun that we've had with, playing around.
I bet.
This.
So is the longer-term scenario that you'll live your days out in France?
Well, I mean, we'll still, as I said, we bought this little pied-à-terre in Sydney, so it's going to be a combination of the two.
Right.
Because we don't stay in France longer than 6 months because you have to pay French taxes, and we pay property taxes and other stuff, but we don't pay income tax. So we don't stay there longer than 6 months of the year because we're not French citizens, and we apply for long stay visas each year, so long as we stay under 6 months. The foreseeable future is to do this, you know, and use it as a base for exploring the rest of France and Europe, and live the good life in France and drink lots of good Bordeaux, and which, by the way, is there's plenty of good Bordeaux that's not exorbitantly priced, and live the French paradox, eat and drink well and live to 100.
And that was travel writer Sue Gough-Henley speaking with Graham Kemlow about her French life.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.